Welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford. Thanks so much for joining us today and listening. We appreciate you tuning in as always. And I'm super excited today to bring you an episode with Mr. Nick Palacios out in Texas. He's with DNA Archery, and they've got a cool thing going out there. Really encouraging first-generation bow hunters. And Nick has a cool story of getting into bow hunting, getting into hunting. And I really enjoyed talking with him, and I think you guys will enjoy the conversation as well. And a lot of us are definitely either steaming along, practicing with our bow, you know, looking ahead to deer season, or some folks breaking them back out for some summer practice. But either way, I hope your turkey season has gone well, and I hope you enjoyed the turkey series on the podcast. But today, we're looking forward to talking with Nick, and hope you guys enjoy as well. Thanks again.
Correct. Yep. Austin, Texas.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you coming on today. I'm actually fairly new to following you on Instagram. Saw some stuff you were doing with, I think it's called DNA Archery. It's kind of a new thing y'all have going. And yep. I was just super impressed with the photography and the content and everything. I was like, this would be a cool guy to talk to about bow hunting and everything. I'm a new hunter, a new bow hunter. Everything's, you know, relatively new to me, so I'm always up to learn. But man, if you don't mind, just kind of introduce yourself, let us know what you've got going on, and maybe go into how you got into hunting.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, Amos, I want to just say thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on. I really appreciate you taking the time to bring me on here. I'm also new into archery and bow hunting as well. I actually got into it after my 29th birthday last year. So a little over about a year and a half, something I've been wanting to get into for a while, ever since like 2016, I'm originally from Northern California and never grew up around hunting. I had a grandfather who hunted, but unfortunately he had passed away when I was real young. And that was never anything that the rest of my family was ever into. So it was kind of nothing that was ever talked about growing up. And if it was, it wasn't really in a positive light. You know, it's kind of the stereotypical type of hunting banter and stuff that people have stereotypes connected to with hunters. So it was never anything that I got to really go down. I never got to go down that lane when I was younger. And it wasn't until I was about in like my mid-20s that I started to get a real want to start trying to hunt. But again, not knowing anybody in it, being in the area that I lived at the time, it was kind of just like very far off. Didn't really seem like it was something that was going to be possible, just because there's so much that goes into it. And in this day and age, you know, there's so much content, there's so much going on in the hunting space, that it's kind of hard to know like who to follow, what to listen to. You know, do I want to go rifle hunting? Do I want to go bow hunting? So it was real daunting at first. And it wasn't until, like I said, about a year and a half ago, I, you know, just got a wild bug just to be like, you know what, I'm going to get a bow and I'm just going to start shooting. I'm just going to see if I really do like it. And I scoured the internet for a couple of weeks and finally landed on a 2018 Bear Approach that this guy was selling here in town. It was in great shape, $400 for a bow, arrows, the release, gave me some books and a target as well too. So I got all set up and I ended up taking it to Cabela's, which is the only place that I knew of that could do that, which in hindsight, I would never do that again, just because it was didn't get set up the best way. So I was able to get my first arrow to shoot though, which was fine. And from that moment on, man, he took me to the back room and they had that like 10 yard shooting range there. And from the first time I released that arrow, I was immediately hooked, man. I was just like, there's something that lit up on me where I was like, man, I can't believe that I have not been doing this my entire life. And at the time I'm 29 years old, and it's weird to be at that age and find something that you like eventually built a very deep passion for. It's not really, you know, you kind of get older and you get set in your ways and you think you have your hobbies, and it's very few and far in between to find something like that. So I think of myself as incredibly blessed and super grateful that I was able to find archery. And again, I'm lucky that I live in Central Texas and we have a great club out here called the Austin Archery Club. It's a 60-acre open bow hunters course. They have a static range. They have field target archery range as well too. And I would just go there 3-4 days a week and just shoot tons of arrows, man. And even before that, I was looking at places throughout Austin here that I could go and just take my target and set up. So I would go to a park where nobody was at and go to the very edge of the park and go shoot my arrows, and people would look at me all funny and stuff. So it was kind of awkward at first, but it was good, man. I wanted to get the practice, and I spent weeks just going down the rabbit hole, and I found John Dudley and Cam Haynes and Remy Warren and the guys from Meat Eater, and I was just soaking up all their content, just trying to learn as much as I could. I'm a very competitive person by nature, so I always feel like I'm very behind the eight ball when it comes to archery and bow hunting, because for the most part, people grow up doing this, and they're second, third, fourth, fifth generation hunters. Parents grow up, grandparents teaching them, so I'm like a sponge with everything that I can, trying to just really learn all the ins and outs of things, making sure I'm doing it the most correct way that I can. And really the main reason why I wanted to do it was to test myself and to be able to be self-sufficient, being able to get my own meat. And I come from a fitness background, so eating clean and working out is very important to me. And the allure of having the adventure to be able to go out on public land and go to be able to hunt my own hunt my own animals and get harvest that meat was really important to me. So I picked up that first bow in March, and after the first month I was super into it, shooting. I was trying to get anywhere between 100 to 150 arrows a day, and I was doing that very consistently. And I came across a Total Archery Challenge online, and they were doing it in San Antonio, a couple of weeks away from me. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and sign up for it and just try it out. It looked super fun. Didn't really know too much about it, but I had heard in a couple of podcasts from some guys talking about it, and it sounded like a great time. So I signed up for it and ended up going by myself just to, see how I do. And for any of you guys out there that haven't tried a Total Archery Challenge and are new to archery, or even if you've been in archery and bow hunting for a long time, I heavily suggest that you do it. It's going to test your skills to the max. I mean, you're going to get every different type of shot scenario, ranges from, 20 plus yards out to 100 plus yards. And it's just the best time, man. The archery and bow hunting community is such a great one. Again, I say this a lot, but I'm very grateful to be in a community of people that are so inclusive and always wanting to see you better yourself. And that's something from day one I've always felt. I've reached out to a ton of people, just asking for tips and things like that. Everybody's been super forthcoming and very open to wanting to help. And I had went to that first Total Archery Challenge, and on the first course, I shot the Leopold course at 7 in the morning. I wanted to get the earliest knock time. So I did. I got to my first course, and I ended up meeting who are now two of my best friends and business partners, Alex and Derek, that are also newer to archery and bow hunting as well. Alex is also a first generation bow hunter, and Derek is as well. Derek kind of grew up hunting a little bit, like rifle hunting with his family, and Alex didn't either. So we had met and we clicked from the jump, and we ended up shooting all day together. Started a really great relationship from then on, and they all live in Central Texas as well. So over the next 8 months leading up to whitetail season, I mean, we were practicing together at the archery club pretty much like 2 to 3 days a week, just getting in as much reps as we could. And yeah, man, that's how I ended up getting into archery. And they had invited me to go to Derek's lease. They have a lease out here in West Texas, and it's beautiful, man. You've got whitetail, turkey, hogs, tons of exotics out there. So I mean, you pick any type of animal out of the hat, and you've got access to it there. So we had set up a weekend trip to go to their lease, and we again, this is about from the day that I got my bow to the first time I went hunting was about 8 months. So again, I did as much research as I could because I really wanted to ensure that when I got my first opportunity to draw back on an animal, I wanted zero type of worry or self-doubt in there to be like, okay, I'm 100% ready to do this, and I know that I'm going to be able to make a clean, ethical shot. And that was my like my main goal and focus leading up to this. So we had gotten to Derek's lease, and I was stoked, man. I was so excited to get there. We started, we got out, got all of our stuff set up, and we got there in like like mid-afternoon. So we were going to get set up to do an evening hunt there. And mind you, I've never been hunting before. This is my very first time. And Derek showed me how to set up blind. We went out there in Texas. You can hunt over bait. So we did that. We laid some feed out. We found a really nice watering hole down one of the pastures there by the cabin where we were at. Or the idea was set up the blind. Let's go ahead and set it up in a thicket of cedar trees and get ourselves set up and just kind of see what comes by. Just give me a little bit of experience in the blind. And it was awesome, man. From right around, I'd say about an hour before sunset, we started to have deer come in. And it was so cool, man. Just the experience of being in a blind, sitting there quiet, just listening to everything around you, watching the animals kind of interact and do their thing when they don't know that you're there is a really beautiful thing, man. And that's another thing with archery and bow hunting that you get to experience nature in a way that most people never will. Most people don't get to experience that, don't get to be in that situation. And it's a very powerful thing. And it wasn't until the second day. So this was we did three sits up until then. And we kind of just let some deer pass through us and kind of see what was coming through. And we had spotted a doe the night before. And we were saying like, oh, that looks like one that we could, that we could potentially harvest. But waited until the next morning, kind of see what came by. And that second morning, it was real quiet. I think we had like one or two deer come by. Nothing that was worth, being able to take a stab at. So it was about 8 or 8:30, and we were like, all right, let's go get some breakfast. Let's come back for an afternoon sit, and see what comes by then. And we had walked out of the blind, and as soon as we walk out of the blind, like 40, 45 yards away, there's a deer on the other side of the fence there. And Derek and I look at each other, and we're like, all right, this is definitely a shooter. Let's go ahead and just be quiet. Let's work on our stalk. So we walked in about another 15 yards or so to, we got to about 30 yards. And I looked at Derek and I'm like, I'm comfortable with this shot. So she was feeding a little bit, kind of popped up, looked at us. She saw we were there for sure, but didn't really pay us any mind. So we were able to creep in, like I said, to about 30 yards. And while she was feeding, I stood up, drew my bow back, and then she popped her head back up. I gave her a little man. And as soon as she looked up, released my arrow, hit her right between the shoulder, right behind the shoulder blade. She kicked up, ran about maybe about 50, 100 yards, something like that, and fell over, died right there, very quick, man. And I was just the rush of emotion that you feel after that is just unreal, dude. It's especially after almost a year of preparation and practice and all the arrows and all the content and podcasts and books I went through. Man, it was such a gratifying feeling. Definitely, just kind of just get a rush. It's just you feel like you want to cry. Your heart is beating through your chest and in your throat. But man, I gave Derek a huge hug, and we were stoked. And we were able to harvest it that night and get it all quartered. And we cooked up both those back straps last night, man. It was a very, very powerful feeling. And from that moment on, man, I burnt the boats, and I've been both feet in the boat since then.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And there's so many things that I identify with, and I appreciate that you said. One thing that I really made a mental note on was early on you said something to the effect of that it's hard. Like it's so easy. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm a terrible golfer, but you know how easy it is for me to like grab my golf clubs and go golf on a Saturday afternoon? Like, it's so easy. There's nothing to it, and it's like whatever. But hunting is like a different animal, like it is a quote unquote hobby, I guess by people's definition, but it's like it's a different deal. Like, you don't just grab your bow. I mean, I'm sure some people do, don't get me wrong, but you don't just grab your bow and waltz out there. Like, there's so much preparation, there's so much thought, there's so much research involved, because to your other point, there's a lot of information out there. So if you're new, which one do you listen to, and kind of sifting through what's available to hopefully put yourself in the best position possible?
And that's the thing, man, is again, with the community, like I was saying, everybody's super forthcoming and willing to help, right? So I got a lot of that early on, and I still continue to. And that's been something that I've been very focused on. Derek and Alex have been very focused on is ensuring that we give back to people. Anybody that hits us up, we're always wanting to help them out immediately. Whether it's getting some gear information, giving them some feedback on stuff that we've tried that worked or didn't work, pointing them in the right direction for people to listen to, because I'm by zero stretch of the imagination an expert or anything in the field, but I'm incredibly passionate. And when I put my mind to something and I really dig my heels in, man, I do the research and I do it the right way. And that's something that, as far as my work ethic goes, it's bar none, man. I that's just something that I absolutely love. So anytime anybody's wanting to come out and ask me for advice, man, it's super humbling, and I'm always wanting to make sure I put them in the right direction, and pay that forward for them.
Yeah, no doubt. And I've certainly experienced that too. I was looking for a bow a while back, and I had, guys giving me like legit recommendations. And I mean, one guy ended up basically facilitating the bow I bought, ended up going with Expedition. But
Nice.
it is amazing to me how, like you're saying, people are very, very willing to help, very willing to give you some input, and not just like in a salesy way, like here's what I shoot, but like literally telling, giving you the, giving you the info. And it's been really encouraging for me to see that and shoot people, messages and actually get responses and stuff like that is, it's really cool.
And I man, and I definitely second that. I believe it has a lot to do with the experience of what a hunt entails, right? It's extremely hard. There's not a lot of success, right? You can go on 10 hunts and you might get successful one or two or three times out of those 10, regardless of how much you practice, regardless of how much work you put into it, because you're also at the mercy of a lot of different variables. And in that process, it's extremely humbling, So when you do find success, there's a lot of gratification to that. So I think that that just speaks to a lot of people's character in the hunting space, and people are very forthcoming. There's not a lot of ego that's associated with it. Obviously, there's a couple of caveats to that, but for the most part, man, everybody's super humble and inviting and inclusive in that regard, and it has a lot to do with just the experience of what hunting is.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a challenge. I mean I know I've done more rifle hunting than I have bow hunting at this point. In fact, I've never killed an animal with a bow, not yet. So that's high on the list for here. But it's like, man, you hear some people talk, and it's like, not you're not a real hunter if you're not like 17 miles back and all that, which I'm all for. But it's like, man, I've got like corn and a rifle that can shoot 400 yards. Still can't kill things. Like, this is hard. I don't know what you're talking about. But
Absolutely, man. It's, you know, it's all, and it's all to anyone's preference, but at the end of the day, if you're out there and you're trying to test yourself and you're trying to put meat on the table for yourself or your family, man, there's a lot of respect that should go into that and to be given to somebody.
yeah, and kind of like like you're saying as well, the bow hunting is kind of like its own deal. Because I've talked to guys who like, they're like, hey, I grew up duck hunting with my whatever, but now they're like hardcore bow hunters because it's they tried that, like it just like takes over, the shooting, the practicing, the tuning for yourself, and building arrows for yourself and stuff like that. It just starts to grow and grow and grow, like the passion around the bow hunting itself.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many variables that go into it, and it's a deep rabbit hole once you get into it. But for me, it's something that's given me a really deep purpose. I bounce around a lot of different types of jobs and never really wanted to stick with them. You kind of get into them for a year, you feel like you kind of like wore yourself out, or you've kind of learned gotten to yourself to the ceiling or whatever to that extent. And with this, it's just like there's zero end in sight for me, and there's always something that I can continue to get better at. It's reinvigorated my passion for fitness and exercise, because now I have something specific to train for on a year-round basis. Been able to change up my training for that as well too, which has been awesome. And that was really the main reason why we started DNA Archery. Derek, Alex, and I have a really big passion for this, and we want to get it out to as many people as we can. And again, by paying it forward and helping get new archers onto the right path to becoming a bow hunter, or helping new bow hunters that are, maybe in the position that we're at or a little bit behind us, helping them give them a good direction to be able to run with, so that way they can find success for themselves. That's the whole premise behind what we do at DNA Archery, is bridging that gap for people and helping them get off the starting blocks.
Yeah, that's super cool, and I definitely want to give you some time to say anything further you want to say about DNA here in just a minute. But I haven't been following you that long. I think I just caught Derek, Nate, Alex, DNA. I don't know. Is that just me?
Yeah. So yeah, DNA actually just stands for Derek, Nick, and it was just a name that we had come up with, and we were just like, man, it's a really good name, right? You know, because it's something that, again, we have a really deep passion for, and it's something that we do feel is, I mean, it's something that's in everybody's DNA. You know, nobody would be here if it wasn't for the people that were able to go out and hunt and forage for meat and food for their tribes. So that's grew up, and it's ingrained in our DNA. So it's just kind of very serendipitous that we ended up befriending each other and building such a great friendship together. And, you know, the acronym for our name just happened to be that. So we ran with that. And, you know, it's been awesome to see the support that we've been given, man. You know, we always try to make sure we put out, you know, valuable content that's, you know, professional, that gives people value as well too. So that's where, you know, the whole tagline, you know, first gen bow hunter came up. You know, Alex had actually brought it up. I think he was thinking about changing his name on Instagram, and he had like a variant of that name and a couple extra ideas off, and then we landed on first gen bow hunter, and we were like, wow, that's a great name, because we're all, again, first generation bow hunters. We didn't grow up doing it, right? So we all had a calling for it, and we were like, man, this is something that's it could really be big, and a lot of people have gotten behind it and really felt like a deep connection to it, because it's something that's so prevalent and so ingrained in us that you can go out with a bow, forage your own meat, harvest your own meat, and bring that back and share that with family and friends, and see the excitement in them, be able to get together and create more memories based around that meat. You know, whether it's, you know, getting together for a barbecue, having a dinner with your family, whatever it is, man, there's just so many other things that come along from that experience of just going and hunting, you know, let alone the memories and the bonds that you forge with your friends and family that you do go on hunts with. So again, man, the support that we've gotten from that has just been super humbling, and it's been awesome to see. So we're really excited to continue to see where that goes.
Yeah, no doubt. And I definitely love, you know, the idea behind it. And like you said, just from kind of scrolling through stuff, I've really enjoyed seeing what y'all are putting out. So I'm looking forward to continuing to follow along, but as it grows and, you know, see where it goes from here. But
thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing you've mentioned a few times now, like the food aspect is a big motivator. And man, I will never forget from the first deer that I killed about 5 years ago now. You know, we had some family over and I grilled the back straps. Now, like, I will never like serving that to them. Like, you know, I harvested it, I cooked it, you know, I served it to them. Like, and they loved mm-hmm. it, and it was so good. And, you know, that feeling is, unless you've done it, it's impossible to replicate, I think. And, it's one of the best parts. I mean, I like it all. I mean, you've talked about how much you love the practice, you know, shooting the bow and pushing yourself there, you know, the fitness side and trying to, keep yourself in shape for hunting. And like, there's so many things involved and, you know, I'm sure everybody has their favorite segment or things that, you know, they make more or less than others involved with it. But that aspect of it, the food aspect, not only is it good, healthy meat, but, you know, it's something that you're able to go and provide kind of independently or on your own, you might say. And it's a really cool feeling. Nothing like it.
Yeah, it really is, man. And it's just every part of the process for me is extremely enjoyable. You know, obviously some things are a grind, but you know, I love them all equally. And the main thing for me too, is just really what you're able to build with people that are your friends. You know, it's a great way for men to forge a really deep bond and go through something that's hard like that. And that's something that one of our friends, Colin Cottrell, he's the owner of High Caliber Hunts. We went on a hunt with him a couple weeks ago in May, and Colin got a great group of guys together. His whole thing is building camaraderie for men through hunt camps. And he's really reinvented what a hunting camp is. And for anybody that hasn't checked out Colin and High Caliber Hunts, I really suggest that you do. He puts on some great camps and gets some really interesting guys from all different walks of life together. But man, getting men together in a hunting camp and experiencing what that is, you know, whether you're a new hunter or an experienced hunter, anybody is welcome. And it's really great to just get together and bounce ideas off of each other, be able to network And again, just, you know, forge some new relationships and bonds that, you know, you could take with you for the rest of your life going through something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool idea. And I think I started following him through you guys already. So it's
cool
what he's got going on. A little bit more about like some hunts you've been on or since that first doe, you know, maybe what animals you've had an opportunity to harvest, if any, or kind of how that's gone for you.
Yeah, man. So I was able to harvest two doe last year. So we went back out during whitetail season last year, and I was able to harvest my second doe, which for me was almost more exciting than the first one because of just like the shot situation that I had had at the time. I had I had lost my rangefinder like a couple days before, and I was being a little stubborn. I was like, man, I don't want to shell out another $300 for another rangefinder, right? So I was like, you know what? I'll go ahead. I'll make do without. And I figured I would be sitting in a blind with one of the guys, and they both had theirs with them. So it ended up working out to where Derek and Alex were going to sit in a blind on the other side of the lease there, and I was going to sit in an elevated tripod stand. So that's where it's about 20 feet up off the ground, and you kind of overlook the area that you're at. So what I did is luckily I'd met somebody at the Austin Archery Club that I go to and practice at a lot. He was like, hey man, this is something that's helped me out a lot, right? So you take your rangefinder, and this is so you don't have to pull it out so frequently when you do have an opportunity come up while you're hunting. He's like, take a lay of the land, see what landmarks are in front of you that are relatively close, right? Say from, you know, 10 to 50 yards out, range multiple parts of that landscape and keep a mental note. So what I did was, I had Alex come out with me. I got up in my tripod stand, and I took a picture of what was in front of me, and I ranged like six different things. So that way I was like, all right, so if anything goes in between any one of these landmarks, I know relatively close what my shot's going to be at. So I took a photo, and then I just marked. I did it on Instagram on a story. I took a photo, you know, put the text over it with the ranges, and then I saved it, and then I just kept that with me as a little note to be able to look back on. And I was sitting in the blind for probably like 3 hours before I had any deer come by, and finally I had a really good sized doe and a couple other smaller little fawns running in, and she was at about, I know she was between 40 and 45 yards from where she was standing. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna set it at like 42, just somewhere in the middle, and I'm gonna go ahead and take a stab at it. And I was able to take a 42 yard shot on that doe, and she went even shorter than shorter distance than the first one I had shot. She went maybe 10 yards. She cut right, kicked left again, fell down, and inside of a minute she was down, and that was it. I was super happy about that one, man. Again, just full of adrenaline, and it was just an amazing feeling to be able to pull a shot off like that in my first season on another deer. So I was really, really thankful for that. It was a lot of fun. Definitely tested me a little bit more, and since able to track them where we were at, the dirt is like real fine dust, and pigs don't bleed too much, and unfortunately I shot too far back on the one that I did hit. So I definitely got a gut shot on it, and it ran off and it kicked left, and I could hear it just tearing through the brush behind me, or to the left of me. And I was sitting and waiting for about an hour or so, maybe 2 hours, before I went to go try to find it. And unfortunately I didn't, and you know, that's just kind of par for the course. You know, as you continue to go out hunting, you know, you're going to take stabs, and unfortunately sometimes it's not going to be a perfect shot. So you know, I've gone hog hunting a handful of times, and I go out to some public land out here in Texas. You know, I've checked out Sam Houston, I've checked out a spot over in Somerville, and then Granger Lake a couple of times. Went turkey hunting last weekend, got to try calling turkeys for the first time, which was a lot of fun. Yeah. And we were doing a lot of spot and stalking there. Sat in a blind for a little bit trying to call turkeys in, but a little bit late in the season. And, you know, we weren't able to call any turkeys in. We did have one Jake that kind of came by at about 45 yards and cut through a mesquite and a cedar tree on me. And he kind of stuck back there for a bit. And I was like, you know what, it's getting kind of late, I'm going to hop out and see if I can't go stalk it. And he just had disappeared on me, unfortunately. But, you know, main thing is, man, especially as a new hunter, you just go out and get your reps in, get some experience of getting behind your bow, trying some stalks, sitting in a blind. Luckily in Texas, you know, we can hog hunt all year round. You've got exotics that you can hunt all year. So I'm able to get a lot of reps in on the off season when it's not, you know, when it's not whitetail or any other type of season.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we can, we can hunt hogs year round here in Florida as well. But I actually
nice.
I have not tried that yet, so I'm working a few connections on that. So hopefully I'll be able to
nice.
do a pig hunt soon. So I'm excited about that. But
it's a fun one, man. They're tough. They're tough for sure. You really got to make sure you hug that chat right behind the shoulder blade and stay real close to that, because their vitals are smaller and they're a little bit more forward. So I think shooting a lot of foam can kind of give you a bad idea of where some vitals are sometimes. Cause I placed what I thought was a really good shot on that hog, but when in looking back at the footage, it was probably about 3 inches too far back. Had I made that adjustment, I'm sure he wouldn't have gone too far. But you know, again, like I said, it's all about getting the experience and getting those reps in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Man, we've covered quite a bit already, but hey, do you mind telling me like what your setup is currently, as far as I know you mentioned that Bear was the first bow you got.
Yeah.
You know, if you've upgraded that yet, or anything you want to mention on your, you know, sight, string, arrow, broadhead, anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So after I had that Bear, I had that Bear approach for maybe 2 months. After I left TAC, I was, you know, I was super hooked. So I was like, you know what, I want to buy a new bow. So I ended up getting a PSE Embark, which is a little more of like an entry level bow, but it was great, man. I harvested both those deer with that. It shot super consistently, is real durable product. And then at the beginning of this year, I upgraded again and got myself a V3X. I just wanted a bigger axle to axle bow. I'm a taller guy. I have a longer draw length. I have a 30 inch draw length. So, you know, I just wanted something that was going to have a little bit smoother draw cycle. So I've got the Matthews V3X, the 33 inch, and then I've got the Fast Eddy XL with the dovetail. So I've got that extended out a little bit. And then I'm also running a set of Quattro stabilizers. They're an awesome company that's based out of South Africa, actually. And they make great products, man. And what's cool is they color match a lot of their stabilizers. So for the V3X I have, you know, you can color match those and get the sidebar mount and switch out the weights and color code that to your bow and all that stuff. So I'm an aesthetics guy. So I went with those stabilizers. Those have been awesome. And then I got a set of gas bowstrings. Those have been great as well too. And then I just switched over my arrows. So I was shooting the Axis SPTs, which is like their sport arrows. And then I switched over to the new 4mm Axis long range arrows, which have been awesome. So going from a 5 to a 4mm, it's a thinner diameter. So you get a little bit better penetration. It's a lighter arrow. So anytime I go hunting, I always run a fixed blade. That's just my personal preference. I know people argue and stuff like that around whether you shoot a mechanical or a fixed or whatever. Yep. At the end of the day, man, it's all preference. So I like fixed blades. Currently I'm shooting the G5 Montech, but I am going to switch over to the Annihilator broadheads. I kind of like those snub nose looking broadheads, and I feel like those won't make as much of an adjustment in the flight of my arrow. For some reason, every time I put those G5s on, it kind of kicks my arrows right. So hoping with the Annihilators, I won't have that issue, and they have a really good cutting diameter on those. So I'll start running those for my next hunt. Yeah, man. And that's set up right now. I've got a cable driven QAD rest at the moment as well too. So yeah, man, I've got a great rig. I'm super happy with it. Alex is really good at building arrows. So I just get my arrow shafts and I give them to him and he doctors them up for me. So he's really good at what he does there.
That's fantastic. The Annihilators, I've had the guys on from Elevate Stand Company, which is up in Kansas, made in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of partnered up with Annihilator too. So I've seen a lot of the stuff.
Oh, nice. Like, yeah, you'll have to send me their information. I'd love to check them out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And looks like cool stuff. And I'm shooting a Flicker now, which they're I think they might be a Texas-based business. Anyway, it's always cool to see what people have set up and, you know, kind of
yeah.
and stuff like that. Like, you know, we're both new to bow hunting and, you know, I'm doing like a micro diameter as well. And, mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting just how things like that go. Some of it is totally preference, you know, like if it makes sense in your mind and it helps you be confident, then, you know, who knows if it's actually right scientifically or whatever, but you know, that's kind of how I feel about the micro diameter arrows. I'm like, it makes sense to me that there's like less resistance and better penetration, you know, I don't know. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all personal preference. I kind of always go back to, like I said, my background's in fitness. So I always just kind of fall back on the thing, if it works for you, then it works for you. I'm never going to be of the mindset of like, oh, this way is the only way. And that's the only way you should do it. Because I think that that's just, it's always BS, man. So, if it works for you and it's something you're comfortable with and you're able to get your reps in, by all means, run it with you. And I give my 2 cents when it's asked of me, and then that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Matthews too, you said you got a Matthews. My brother just got a Matthews as well, so he loves it. So it's he's
nice,
fantastic. So
very. What did he end up getting?
I think it might be the VX3. VX3 is that?
Oh, the V3X. Yeah, nice.
V3X. There we go.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'd have to ask him. He was between a couple of them. I forget what the other one is called. Like, is it just a VR or something?
The VXR. Yeah, the VXR is a little older one. That I believe that was right before the V3. But shoot, man, you can't go wrong with Matthews. You can't go wrong with Hoyt, PSE, Elite. I mean, all the big name bow brands. I mean, the technology is so far advanced on these. At the end of the day, it's kind of just like whatever comes down to your preference and what feels comfortable in your draw, and kind of take it from there. If aesthetics are important to you, look at that also. But for the most part, everybody makes a really solid bow.
Yeah, very cool. Well, man, we've just about covered everything. You mentioned like fitness and everything. Do you do a lot of I don't know. If you have a couple minutes, if you want to give like nutshell of your either your viewpoint on fitness or some pointers or things specific to bow hunting, anything you want to mention on fitness, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. So what I currently do is I do a mix between what's called metabolic conditioning, which is I guess kind of similar to like high intensity interval training, and I always like put my own programs together. So 3 days out of the week, I'll do what's called metabolic conditioning, where you're doing five exercises and for five rounds with about a minute and a minute and a half rest. It's not a long workout. It's super effective. It helps boost your aerobic capacity, your cardio, your strength, all wrapped into one. And those exercises are all going to be a mixture of something like squats, squatting, hinging, pushing, pressing, or carrying motions. Something like farmer's carries, squat presses, kettlebell swings, yoke walks, anything like that where you're getting under a good load and then you're moving for either a certain amount of reps, a certain amount of time, or a certain amount of distance. And those are super effective, again, just for boosting your aerobic capacity, your cardio, and your strength. And then in between those days, I'll do a push day, a pull day, and a leg day, which is more just straight strength focused, hypertrophy training focused. So I kind of work on covering all aspects of my training, and that's personally what works well for me. It helps to keep my joints healthy, helps to work on like all your stabilizing musculature as well too, which super important anytime you're rucking or hiking or anything like that. You're never walking on 2 feet at the same time, right? So focusing on stabilization and bulletproofing your joints is really, really important. So I make sure I put a lot of emphasis on that. And then safeguarding my shoulders and my upper back as well too. Obviously a lot of repetitive use by drawing a bow on a regular basis. So wanting to make sure that my shoulders and elbows and upper back is in good working order. So I do a lot of accessory banded work, stuff like that, really light where you're doing higher reps. And just working on making sure everything's, stable and fluid and you got the range of motion that you need.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Sounds like good stuff. Well,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Once again, I appreciate you coming on, taking a few minutes today, and I've definitely enjoyed learning more about, kind of your story as far as how you got into everything and what y'all have coming up. So, and if you want to direct anybody to follow you or visit a website or anything like that, let us know where to find y'all.
Yeah. Well, Amos, I appreciate you having me on again, man. For those of y'all that are interested, my personal page is Thwack. It's THWAACK. That's on all platforms. And then our company is DNA Archery Co. That's it, also on Instagram. And then our website, if y'all are interested in looking at anything on there, it's dnaarcheryco.com. And again, anybody that's interested or has any questions for me, ever needs any type of like direction or anything like that, please, by all means, my inbox is always open. And thank you again for the support and having me on, Amos. I really appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man.
Thanks again for listening to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. And thanks again to Nick for joining us today. Just appreciate everybody staying tuned and following along and the support on Instagram, as well as those who've listened and left reviews. If you are enjoying the podcast, we certainly would appreciate it if you leave a rating and review, especially on iTunes, but anywhere you listen, we appreciate it. And enjoyed talking with Nick, enjoyed talking archery, so I'm looking forward to continuing to practice, and I've got a little arrow build. I'm trying to get done, so there's all kind of stuff going on. We're going to be talking food plots in the near future, and just keeping things rolling, and it's been fun. Really, really have enjoyed doing the podcast, and it's been good. It's been educational for sure, and appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate all the guests that have come on, but again, special thanks to Nick for joining me on this episode. Hope everybody has a good off season, or if you're hunting some hogs or whatever you've got going on this summer, good luck to you. And as always, honor God, work hard, have fun, and keep hunting.